Welcome to another episode of the Jam Pack Report today for December the 2nd of 2020. Of course, my name is Samuel Adams, and this is a daily gaming news podcast meant to bring you the hottest news you need to know from around the industry, hosted on YouTube and podcast services around the world 5 days a week. It's your one-stop shop for everything you need to know. So if you enjoy the show and you like what you see, hit that subscribe button and keep coming back for more. But if you are a longtime fan of the show, you'll know that Halo Infinite is one of my most anticipated games. Even after seeing the gameplay in July, I am still incredibly pumped to see what the team at 343 comes up with. And while it's not releasing in the launch window of the Xbox Series X and S, the game is still slated to come sometime in 2021. And new rumors this week brought up yet again a Battle Royale potential for Halo Infinite. But it looks like those rumors are unfounded. But, PC Gamer points out, not necessarily inaccurate. A rumor resurfaced yesterday claiming that despite 343 Industries' professed lack of interest, Halo Infinite will in fact get a Battle Royale mode free for all players in 2021. The tweet that got the ball rolling was actually posted in October and was based on a Reddit post, also from October, saying that, quote, 343 has wanted to make this BR unlike any to come before, and there are some big, and I mean big, plans for this, end quote. The tweet has since been deleted, and you can find a cached version if you do want to see it for yourself, but 343 Industries has responded nonetheless. Halo community manager Brian Gerard took to Twitter to call the claim unfounded, saying, quote, "Nothing gets a post-holiday Monday going like fresh, unfounded Halo Infinite rumors. By the way, yes, I'm aware we could help solve this with real news. We certainly have some things we are overdue on and eager to talk more about. We are in the process of pulling together a year-end update." This is not exactly a straight-up denial, and in fact implies that maybe there is something to it, at the very least that there is more going on than 343 has shared so far. The rumor could be unfounded, but still accurate. Halo would certainly be a good fit for a Battle Royale, after all, and it's been more than 2 years since lead writer Jeff Easterling said, quote, "The only BR we are really interested in is Battle Rifle," end quote. Halo Infinite has not had the smoothest ride recently. It was delayed to 2021 in August. Studio director Chris Lee moved off the project a couple of months later, and in November, 343 Industries said it was not planning on having anything to show at the upcoming Game Awards. Gerard addressed fan frustration in a series of later tweets, saying he can, quote, "understand and appreciate the passion of the Halo community, as well as the frustration when things don't go the way you want, or it feels like you're somehow being wronged or not heard." There is currently no sign of a more precise release window for Infinite other than 2021, and it's possible that could be pushed all the way into November of next year to tie in with the 20th anniversary of Halo Combat Evolved. We'll hopefully start to get a clearer picture soon, though, as the studio said in a recent blog post that it, quote, "plans to be much more communicative in the coming months," end quote. This is hard to read because, again, there is no denial of a Battle Royale, but at the same time, you don't really want to pour any kind of water on the fire of community hype around any element of the game itself. At this point, with so much being unknown, publicity, regardless of its type, is good publicity. The fact that people are excited about Halo Infinite is a good element. And so, will a Battle Royale come to the game? It seems likely in today's day and age. I mean, in a world where Call of Duty has a Battle Royale, in a world where Battlefield has a Battle Royale, in a world where so many games like Tetris and Mario have a Battle Royale element, Halo seems like a no-brainer for that. The question is whether or not Microsoft would want to fund that, and really, I think that we could be seeing something down the line. Now, of course, they announced earlier this year that the multiplayer component of Halo Infinite is going to be free to play. You are just going to be able to dive in and enjoy it for yourself without having to actually purchase the game or have a Game Pass subscription for that matter. So considering the fact that already the multiplayer is going to be free for everyone, you might as well throw a Battle Royale in there and get people kind of excited about that. Because traditional multiplayer and Battle Royale modes can live alongside each other in the same ecosystem. I look directly to Call of Duty with Warzone and with traditional multiplayer modes in both Modern Warfare and in Black Ops Cold War. All three of these games, technically, since they're sort of three separate entities, are thriving. They are still continuing to bring people in. And so the fact that that can happen means that Halo could pull off the exact same mode, but it's really important to do it correctly and do it well. And so I hope to hear more before the year's end. Of course, as Gerard said, they're putting together a year-end update. So hopefully we will hear more in the coming weeks about what is going on behind the scenes at 343. I would not bet on a release date. I potentially might expect the release window, but even then, I think you're really grasping for straws at that one. My gut feeling says that this is going to be a fall game for next year. And as Intimate Ghost said on the XCP podcast, really take the time because the damage has already been done. The reputation of Halo Infinite has already taken a blow because of this huge delay. Don't push the release date up just to try and get it out as close to that original date as possible. If it takes until November of 2021, sure, why not? Because it's already been delayed indefinitely. We're good. We're already hurt. Don't break my heart again. But regardless, I'm still incredibly excited about Halo Infinite. Very, very pumped for this one. And of course, it is going to be coming to Xbox Game Pass, which is getting plenty of big additions in December, with Doom Eternal, Control, and 15 more games coming your way across, of course, mobile, Xbox consoles, and PC. Xbox Game Pass subscribers looking to test out the service's new pre-installing feature will find December is jam-packed with candidates. Control and Doom Eternal kick things off on December the 3rd, and they're followed by offerings as diverse as Dragon Quest XI's Definitive Edition and the Motorsports Precision Sim Assetto Corsa. In all, 17 games are coming to Xbox Game Pass in the week between Thursday, December the 3rd, and December the 10th. Many of them are from Microsoft's id at Xbox promotion for indie games, including Slime Rancher, Yes Your Grace, a Kingdom Management RPG, Call of the Sea, Super Hot Mind Control Delete, and Yooka-Laylee and the Impossible Lair. In addition to Doom Eternal, Microsoft has also peeled off Rage 2 for Android streaming from Bethesda's library, and 8 more games will get touch control optimization for streaming to Android, including Bloodstained, Ritual of the Night, Golf with Your Friends, and Eichenfell. And on December the 10th, PC subscribers will get access to EA Play's library of games. Leaving the library this month, eFootball PES 2020 for Xbox One on December the 11th, Metro Last Light Redux for PC on December the 15th, the Turing Test for both console and PC on December the 15th, and Untitled Goose Game on December the 15th. Game Pass subscribers may buy these games at a discount before they leave the library. Subscribers to Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, which bundles Xbox Live Gold with Game Pass, can also get a free 30-day trial to Disney Plus if they are a new subscriber, and the Pro Wrestling Gears 5 crossover to put tag team The New Day in a multiplayer avatar lineup. Of course, you can find more details about all of these on the Xbox Wire. Now, one thing I do want to point out is that it seems this version of Control is the regular Xbox One version of Control, not the Ultimate Edition that then gets you the upgrade to the next-gen version of Control. So I want to make that very clear before you get really excited. Now, could that change at some point in the coming weeks? Potentially, but ultimately, you're just going to be getting the base version of Control, which is fine. But if you already have an Xbox Series X or S, you might, if you're a really big stickler for ray tracing and high-resolution textures and next-gen updates, want to wait for the Ultimate Edition, and you'll still have to fork over those bucks. But even then, it's still a fantastic experience that is going to run well on the Xbox Series X. I played some of it on the Xbox One, but I'm kind of waiting to dive back in for the next-gen update. But Doom Eternal, of course, coming to PC is a fantastic addition. Well, one of my favorite games of the entire year, and I kind of have been that feeling of going through and doing another playthrough in the coming weeks on the Xbox Series X. On top of that, one that I want to point out is Super Hot Mind Control Delete. Phenomenal game. I played the original version of Super Hot, and then Mind Control Delete just simply has more weapons and more levels for you to dive back into. And then, of course, Yooka-Laylee, a pretty big one for those Xbox fans. I'm very interested to hear from people. Do you use the Android streaming? I know that a lot of people have been playing xCloud. I've been playing it on the iPhone whenever that beta was going on, but ultimately I haven't had a chance to dive back in because I don't have an Android device. But it seems like more and more people are playing on mobile because they continue supporting these touch control optimizations for tons of new games. And I'll also mention, Rage 2 is already on Game Pass for console and PC, I believe, but it is nice to see that one coming to Android streaming as well. But if you do want to dive in, I know that they are running a promotion for Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, where you get, I think, 3 months for $1, something along those lines. You can find more info on the Xbox Wire or on the Xbox Store. But it's a fantastic service. Over the Black Friday weekend, I stocked up on, I think, 9 months of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, which includes Live, Game Pass for console, and Game Pass for PC. It just gives you all of the games that you really need if you aren't particular about what you play or you want to discover new things to play. Really fantastic service that I could not live without in my gaming life, 100%. But moving on over to the Sony side of things, Days Gone's two most senior leads announced they have left PlayStation's Bend Studio. The two most senior creatives behind 2019 PlayStation exclusive Days Gone have announced their departure from Sony's Bend Studio. Writer-director John Garvin and game director Jeff Ross announced their departure from the Oregon, US-based developer within minutes of each other on Monday. Both men had been with Bend Studio, previously known as Eidetic, from its origin days in the mid-90s, having written and designed PS1 action game Siphon Filter and its sequels. Garvin, who was a creative director for the Siphon Filter games, announced on Twitter that he will be leaving Bend this week and moving to Chicago. 10 minutes earlier, Ross, who directed 2011's Uncharted Golden Abyss and 2009's Resistance Retribution, revealed he had been away from the studio for more than a year since Days Gone had shipped. Quote, I have not spoken about this before for various reasons, but I'm no longer with Bend Studio and haven't been for over a year, he wrote. Since Days Gone has shipped, I've been focusing on personal projects, painting, writing, publishing, and generally enjoying a break from the game industry. He added, over the past 2 decades, I helped the studio grow into a major developer, now part of the Sony family. Along the way, I wrote and directed every game from Siphon Filter through Days Gone, including two of my favorites, Resistance Retribution and Uncharted Golden Abyss. The past 20 years were an amazing journey. I want to thank Shuhei Yoshida, Scott Rode, Connie Booth for the opportunities they gave me, studio director Chris Reese, who was at Eidetic from the start, the entire Sony family that provided so much support throughout the world, game director Jeff Ross, who I've worked with off and on for all of that time, and who is one of the most game-savvy designers I know, and of course the entire Days Gone team. The studio was like a family to me, and I wish them all the very best. And my... there we go. Sorry, my mouse went to sleep, and I was like, what do I do now? But Sony Interactive Entertainment purchased Bend Studio in 2000, Days Gone released in 2019, and was the developer's first original IP in 2 decades. Of course, in VGC's Days Gone review, the critic called the PS4 exclusive far from the worst specimen of its genre, but in a year already packed with 50-hour-plus endeavors, it rarely makes the case for its own existence. I agree with that. A lot of people say that Days Gone was phenomenal, one of the best games of the generation. It just didn't click for me, and I feel like a lot of people are in that boat where you either loved it or you hated it. No one was really in between. And of course, somebody will be in the comments section saying, I was in between. But ultimately, Days Gone was their most recent game, and it seems like two of the big boys of the developer have since moved on. And I wish them all the best. I think that's just natural in the course of events as a studio grows and evolves. They just start to branch out. They start to check out new careers. People come and they go. That's the nature of it. You know, if you think that every single company has the exact same slate of people that's been making games there since 1997... you'd be sadly mistaken. So this is just part of the evolution of Bend, and I wish them all the best. But PlanetSide, developer Daybreak, has been bought for $300 million. Enad Global 7, EG7, agreed to buy 100% of the shares in San Diego MMO specialist Daybreak Game Company for $300 million on a cash and debt-free basis. I want to point out that Wesley Yinpool over at Eurogamer, I'm just poking fun, said they bought the Daybreak Game Company for $300. And I'm like, oh, wow, I could do that. The deal consists of a cash payment and newly issued shares in EG7. EG7 is a Stockholm-based company that has so far focused on helping other game companies with marketing, publishing, and distribution. It owns the budget publishers Sold Out and has worked with the likes of Team 17, Rebellion, and Frontier. But the company has made a recent push into owned IP and their developers. In 2019, EG7 bought Antimatter Games, Cornwall-based studio behind the Rising Storm franchise. In November 2020, EG7 announced it had bought MechWarrior series developer Piranha Games. Daybreak, though, stands out in its own portfolio of owned properties and marks a significant push into owned IP. Daybreak owns the EverQuest, H1Z1, and PlanetSide IPs and operates DC, Lord of the Rings, and Dungeons & Dragons online games. Daybreak said it has 178 million total registered users. Quote, on behalf of the Daybreak team and all of our players, we are elated to be joining the EG7 family, said Daybreak Executive Chairman Jason Epstein. The combined companies are strategically positioned to expand Daybreak's unique and iconic portfolio of live games and will help amplify our passion for making great games for our awesome communities. We look forward to working closely with the team at EG7 to continue to deliver incredible experiences for our players around the world. Daybreak Games has an incredible legacy, an impressive portfolio of game franchises, and the most incredible incredible community of players combined with EG7, we are better positioned to expand on these amazing IPs, grow its development teams and player communities, and fund exciting future games, said Daybreak CEO Jai Ham. So what is next for Daybreak? In August 2020, Daybreak announced it had bought Cold Iron Studios, which is making a mystery alien shooter for PC and consoles. In January 2020, Daybreak switched off the Planetside Arena servers just 3 months after it launched in Early Access, although the developer said it remained deeply committed to the Planetside franchise. Congratulations on the purchase. Of course, right now, I think Daybreak is still going through somewhat of a transformative phase. We're kind of in between that phase of H1Z1 and whatever is next, because they tried to create Planetside Arena, did not work out. And of course, many of these other titles that they are supposedly working on have not really been seen. So right now is a transformative period. I'm looking forward to 2021 and 2022 when we see what they are coming up with. But I think that what you have with Daybreak is a team and a company with incredible potential, because it has been a proven success before. I mean, EverQuest, H1Z1, Planetside, these are huge names. There is potential for Daybreak to be a Riot in a way. And by that, I mean Riot Games, like just this huge creator of incredible experiences if they're managed properly and if the teams have the right direction. And so I think with $300 million being spent to purchase Daybreak, that maybe EG7 has a couple of ideas of their own that they can kind of bake into what the team wants to do and create something that is unique and phenomenal. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. But to round out today's show, Genshin Impact made almost $400 million in 2 months on mobile, and the game generated around $6 million a day on average since launch, according to Sensor Tower. MiHoYo's hit generated around $6 million a day, coming out to $393 million in 2 months on mobile from its release on September the 28th. According to Sensor Tower's latest data, the only mobile title surpassing Genshin Impact in the period between its launch and November 28th was Tencent's Honor of Kings, which generated $467 million in revenue. It is worth noting that this data does not include revenue from third-party Android stores, which are widely used in territories such as China. And the country happened to be the largest market for player spending during Genshin Impact's first 2 months, making up 30.5% of the total revenue, equaling $120 million. Japan charted at number 2 with $98 million, followed by the US with $74 million. PUBG Mobile was a close third in the charts from September 28th to November 28th, sitting right behind Genshin Impact with $384 million generated. Completing this top 5 were Pokemon Go with $238 million and Coinmaster with $229 million. Most of the Genshin Impact players on mobile use iPhones. They represent 57.5% of the game's revenue versus 42.5% for Google Play. Genshin Impact made $60 million in its first week on mobile alone before reaching $100 million in 2 weeks, becoming the most successful new IP from a Chinese developer. It had generated $245 million after 1 month. The title was named the best game of the year by both Google Play and the App Store, and to be fair, it's a very impressive game, but this is just one of those gacha games that hooks you and you are just in there playing, spending money. If it's what you want to play all the time, you very well can. There's just so much to do and it's very grindy. I played a bit on PS4, didn't really grab me, not really into that style of game, but I also watch a good bit on Twitch and it seems like it's a fine game. It's important to note, you don't have to spend any money. You really can just play it for free and get a fantastic experience out of it. But for those that do want to reinvest in their playtime and those that do want to get more, you can purchase more. They simply offer to let you purchase as much as you want. So of course it is going to continue generating revenue, but $6 million a day on average, that just blows my mind. That's so much money. But with that being said, that rounds out today's episode of the Jam Pack Report. If you enjoyed today's show, drop me a like down below and let me know what stories caught your eye. But specifically, what do you think will happen with Halo Infinite? Do you think it's getting a battle royale? Do you think it's going to be traditional multiplayer? Or I would love to just hear what you have on your mind. Leave it in the comment section down below. But until tomorrow, you guys have a fantastic rest of your day. I'll talk to you soon and peace.